Imagine you've had a wonderful day. Maybe you don't have to imagine. You have a lot of wonderful days. The weather is beautiful. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. The jobs around the house you wanted to do all got done. Maybe even a couple others. Your coworkers had a good day, which means you had a good day. Some of the flowers in your garden are starting to pop up, and you've got lots of color coming in your yard. Maybe you had a chance to visit with family or friends. It was just a really good day. You enjoyed yourself. And then you sit down in your favorite chair and you turn on the news. It's a whole different ball game. There's wars, people who want land from somebody else simply because they have a bigger army or think they do. Another school shooting or supermarket shopping or somebody with a gun and anger that they didn't know how else to work out. We hear about how brutal people can be to each other. You get to the weather report, and this section of the country's had no rain for a long time. There are parts of the world that have had no rain for over 4 years, and they're having to have it trucked in just so they can have drinking water. Nobody's worrying about washing their clothes. 100 miles down the road from where they're not having it, they're having so much rain that they're having floods. People are losing their homes. It's not easy. We hear about children and older folks dying. Well, you've seen the news. You don't need to tell me what's there. Me to tell you. But I've been wondering lately when it was that we stopped appreciating life for life. When did it become acceptable to kill people just to get your name on the news? Why is it suddenly now a constitutional right to kill babies? Did you know that there are states that are working on abortion laws so that abortion, and that's the word they're using, can be performed up to 28 days after birth? To me, that's criminal. But there are states that are working on that, and I hope they fail. But life is to be appreciated. God gave us the ability to breathe and to feel. Scripture tells us that he came that we might have life abundantly. And that word in the original Greek says more than enough. He wants us to have life that is more than just looking for a job and a place to live that you one that pays for the other, for groceries that are affordable, gas that's affordable. Although there was a guy in California this week who accidentally put the wrong numbers in and for 2 hours sold gas for 69 cents a gallon. The company lost $20,000 and fired him, but a lot of people got a good price on gas for a little while. And he felt guilty enough that he's going to pay it back, which I think takes a special kind of person. You know, I got fired, now I have no income, but I'm going to pay the company the $20,000. And the last I saw, his GoFundMe Fund Me page had raised almost all of it. So people are willing to help each other. We look at the cost of the greed of some in the world. One of our oil companies, and I'm not going to name names, in the last 3 months only made $5.5 billion in profit, doubling what they did last year, and making less gas so they can charge more at the pump. That's enough to make you depressed. Medical care is out the window. People are just searching for something that makes sense in their lives. And as I sat looking at that, thinking, what the world needs is God. And it seems like a really simple solution. If this nation were to turn back to our Creator, what a difference it would make. What a difference it would make. Well, God doesn't leave you to just meandering thoughts. The verses from Romans, which are in your bulletin. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? Which means to me, how are they going to know about God if nobody tells them? And that's not just little people, not just the Billy Grahams and the big guys. It's us too. We're ones who are called, as the verses in Matthew say. We're to go into the world and share it. I find it interesting that when we find a great restaurant where we like the food, we share that. A good book, we're willing to talk to that. Saw a good movie, we share that. But we're all here as Christians. We all love God. We appreciate what he gives us, and we appreciate the salvation we have in Jesus, but we keep it a secret. And that's the biggest thing of all to tell. It doesn't mean we grab a soapbox and stand down the corner in Walworth, because I'm not sure if that would draw a crowd, but you never know. But somehow we need to tell the world about this God that we have so that they can have the same sense of security and support and love that we know. In small conversations, you can share a blessing. You can just say, you know, this happened to me today. I'm thankful for it. Little things, but it's a way to share. I don't have all the answers. I wish I did, but somebody else's job is that, and he's the one who's in charge of all this. But I think that no matter what happens, we need to share that love. We spend a lot of time talking about Jesus is coming back, and he is, and that's a very, very, very good thing. But in the meantime, we have a job we need to be doing. Scripture says where two men are working in the field, one will be caught up and the other will be left behind. Where two women are working, one will be caught up and the other will be left behind. We don't want anybody we know and love to be left behind. We need to share. Now, I have family members who think God is somebody's imagination. And my granddaughter and I have gone a few rounds. But she's in my prayers that somebody, if it's not grandma, then somebody else will get to her and point her in the right direction. It's not easy, and the conversations are, I don't want to tiptoe around things, but I am. She believes in things that I don't, and she was taught things in school that nobody ever should be taught. But mostly what I want to say is that we need to find ways to share our faith. We have tracts out here, and take them, leave them wherever, grocery stores, doctor's offices, windshields. Maybe somebody will see it and it will make a difference in their life. But I think the bigger impact comes from one-on-one conversations. And it won't be one big conversation where you mention God to someone for the first time in their lives and say, and they'll say, yep, that's a good idea, I'm going to follow that. It may take a while. You may be talking for years. You may be praying for them for the rest of your life. But we trust in God and His Holy Spirit to make that difference, so that when Jesus does come back, a whole lot of people are going to go with Him. And that'll include all the people that we love too. So, thank you for listening this morning. Let's pray. Father, once again we come to you thanking you for your love and your guidance. We ask that you help us to share that the love that we have for you with others. Open our eyes and our mouths in the right situation. We ask that you give us the words to speak. Soft words, but powerful. Thank you for hearing our prayers about our nation, our world, our families. We know that the power is yours, because we all know personal experience, the power that you have. We thank you, Lord. We love you. We love your Son. And in His name we pray. Amen.